Gina Alexandria. Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
For those who record the Lord, whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, yours may say imputed, which means didn't count against them, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. Yours may say transgression. And you forgave me, all my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you, God, are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose heart are pure. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the Lord, the word of our God, it will stand forever. For a little while, I want to talk about the joy of God's forgiveness. The joy of God's forgiveness. We've already established David as the one who wrote this beautiful psalm. And David here, he was familiar with both sides of the coin. He knew what it felt like to be forgiven. And he reflects on that from the beginning of this verse, because he says, oh, what joy for those whose obedience, whose transgression have been forgiven. Now, the occasion, the specific occasion for this psalm is not written, but some believe that it ties in with Psalms 51, that it was after David had sinned with Bathsheba, sinned against God. Sin with Bathsheba, and also sin against Uriah. And I know y'all are familiar with that story because we talk about that all the time. Yes. And it could be some other things that David did wrong, but we're very familiar with that sin that David did with Bathsheba and the devastation of what he did. I mean, it just blew my mind that you can sleep with another man's wife and then impregnate her, be deceitful and try to get him to go home and sleep with her, that you may pretend that the baby that she's carrying is the husband. But God didn't let none of that happen. But then after your plan failed to write a letter, send it, a death letter to the woman's husband, send it by the man that you plan to have killed. That has to have been troubling over the time for David. And when he thought he had gotten away with that, put Uriah on the front line of the battle, in the heat of the battle, and then draw back so that he may be killed. Yeah, that's heavy. That blew my mind by this sweet man that God said was a man after his own heart. But David belonged to God. Yeah, and David was repentant of his sin. But according to this scripture here, God had his hands heavy upon him. So he wasn't repentant right away. So here he begins to talk about the condition of the blessed man. He wants us to pay specific attention to this psalm because in several parts of it, it has Shelah. That means pause and reflect on that scripture. Apply it. See how we can glean from that particular passage of scripture. So he says here, blessed or happy or joyful is the man or the person whose transgression, whose disobedience, whose rebellion has been forgiven by God. Look what he says. Whose sin God has covered. He has put it out of his sight. It's like going to court. And you know, when you go to court, just, I know you haven't seen this on television. You go into court, there's somebody, he's guilty from the top to the bottom, from the top up to the floor, or from the floor up to the top, he's guilty. And there may have been extenuating circumstances of his guilt, but there's no doubt that he is guilty. Yeah. And he's in court, anticipating that maybe he's going to get life. Or maybe even the death penalty. He's overwhelmed, anticipating what could happen. He knows he's guilty. But somehow, some way, he's hoping that the judge or the jury, if by jury, will have mercy and find him not guilty. He's anticipating his life in prison. He's anticipating death penalty, possibly. His thoughts are racing. The moment is tense. The silence is overwhelming. His hands are wringing wet with sweat. His heart is pumping rapidly. The silence is overwhelming. Hoping against hope. And then when you hear that verdict, not guilty. Can you imagine the overwhelming joy? The tears of joy that will flow from that person's eyes. Knowing that they were guilty, but somehow, some way, they found him not guilty. Amen. That's what God did with us. Yes. We were guilty. Amen. But the Bible says that God covered. It's like he expunged the sins. That word expunge means that erase from your record.
Yes.
Yeah. The slate has been washed clean.
Yes.
You've been given another chance.
Yes.
I'm not going to say a second chance,
yes,
but you've been given another chance. Because we have used up all of our second chance, but we've been given another chance to put the past, what, behind us and the future, what, ahead of us. Yeah, can you imagine that? Well, that's the kind of joy that the psalmist is talking about in this passage of scripture. Blessed, happy, abundantly joyful is the person, is the man whose transgression, whose disobedience has been forgiven and whose sin has been cast into the sea of forgiveness, never to rise again, us anymore, past, present and future,
yes,
whose record, look what he says, has been cleared of guilt.
Amen.
So David said, oh, what joy it is to know that you have been, the burden has been lifted up. You've been set free. You've been liberated. God has given us another chance.
Yes, yes.
And then he says, whose life? This is the blessed man. This is the condition, the state of that blessed man whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Your book may say whose lives have no guile in it, no deceit, no deception, no dishonest, have nothing to hide. You've been set free now. You don't have to go day in and day out lying, telling one lie after another to cover up another lie. You've been expunged from that. You've been set free from that. Nothing to hide. You can be honest before God.
Amen.
Yeah. But then look what he says here. He knows the other side. Before he confessed to God. Look what he says in verse 3. He said, but this is the state of the man. This is my state when I refuse to confess my sins. Yeah. David said, when I refused to acknowledge my wrongdoing, when I tried to hide what I was doing, when I concealed my wrongdoing, would not bow before God and admit that I had done wrong. This David that we're talking about, the sweet psalmist, the king, yeah, the great warrior, this David, yeah. You know, some sins you broadcast publicly, but some are silent and hidden. But David said, when I refused to confess my sin, in other words, yours may say, when I kept silent. Yeah. When I hid it, the king, the psalmist of Israel, the warrior, the hero, David, the one, the apple of God's eye. David, the one that everybody spoke well of. David that went in the temple to seek the Lord. David that composed over 73 of the Psalms. David with the smile on his face in the public eye. But on the inside was pain, misery, and agony. Living a double life. Refused to acknowledge, admit any wrongdoing. My brothers and sisters, God, he knows all our secrets. He knows our transgressions. He knows our discretions. He sees our iniquities. He sees our crookedness and our deception. We can't hide from God. God knows everything about us. He knows, the Bible say, the hairs on our head. Even that hair that we have added to our head. God knows. He know everything about him. David said, when I refuse, see, David was refused. He was stubborn. Probably thought that he could get away with it. You know, yeah, he probably thought, you know, as time passed. But look what David said. David said, but my sin can alter your life. It can cause lifelong consequences. David said, look what sin did. Sin, when I wouldn't confess, when I wouldn't acknowledge, when I wouldn't bow and admit, when I tried to hide, when I tried to conceal my wrongdoing, when I made excuses. Yeah, come to church every Sunday. Bible study on Wednesday. Sing in the choir. Preached in the pulpit. Ushered at the door. Sat in the pews. Yeah. But all the time living a double life. Look what he says. He said, when I refuse to confess my sin, look what happened. The physical body start to waste away. Sin has an altering consequences to our life. He says, and I groan, look, all day long. In other words, David said, I couldn't find no peace. I couldn't find no joy. All day long I was groaning and moaning because of sin. Yeah, my sin, like he said in Psalm 51, was ever before me. Against thee, Lord, and thee alone have I sinned, and I done evil in your sight. David said, all day, and look, and all night, look what he said, your hand of discipline was heavy upon me. In other words, God is not going to allow you to be comfortable in your sin. He's going to do everything that he can to get you to see the path that you're on and turn around. David said the hand of the Lord was heavy upon me. David had lost his joy. He didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of the Lord. And in 51 and 12, it tells us, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So he had lost his joy, and that's what sin will do. Sin will rob us of our joy. Yeah, it will rob us of our joy. It will cause us to waste away. And you may be thinking you can get away or just leave it alone and maybe as time pass on. But it won't. It won't get no better. Not until we go before the Lord and confess and acknowledge our sin. Look what David said. He says, my strength, sin, he said, it was just zapping my strength. It was draining me. Can you imagine that? day in and day out. I imagine Uriah probably ran before his face. He tried to sleep, and he just couldn't sleep. All day and all night, that sin was bothering David. And my brothers and sisters, the hand of the Lord was upon him. And so what I'm trying to say to us, if you can't get no sleep at night, and you are moaning and groaning all day long and can't rest at night, just maybe God is trying to tell you something. Yeah. Just maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. God is trying to tell us something. Yes. I know I'm not the only one in here have been there. Yeah. When you're messed up. Yeah. All of us have messed up somewhere along the way. Because even at our best, we have not arrived yet. But we are still striving to get there. So I know I'm not alone in this place. When I couldn't sleep some nights. And I'm just trying to tell you that maybe, just maybe, God is trying to tell us something. Yeah. David said, but finally, hallelujah. See, you have to come to that final point. Yes. You have to make some final decision. There has to be a final. Because one day there will be a final. Come on. One day. That's going to be a final. David said, finally, when I confess my sins to God. And look what he said. And I stop trying to hide my guilt. Yeah. When I stop trying to hide it. And I said to myself. Somebody here today needs to say to themselves, look, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. David said it's against God that he had rebelled against. And he says, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And he said, when I went before the Lord, when I acknowledged my sins before God, when I stopped trying to hide it, mother, when I stopped making excuses, when I said to myself, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's not because of my mother, my father, but it's me, oh God. When I acknowledged that thing before God, shut up, my son. Look what he said. And that's what God is waiting for. You see, the forgiveness didn't happen until after David went and confessed. When David acknowledged, when he stopped trying to hide, he may fool the people, but he could not fool God. Yeah. We may try to fool some folk, but we cannot fool God. At no time. So forgiveness didn't happen. Peace didn't come. Joy didn't come. Rest didn't come until David said, I confess. I went to God and confessed my sin. That's what 1 John 1 and 9 said. He said, confess your sins to the Lord, and he will be faithful, what? And just to what? To forgive us, what? And to... Hallelujah. And said, I have to confess. And my brothers and sisters, we have to confess what God already knows. He already know our discretions. He already know those hidden things. And he's just waiting on us to confess. Don't go another day without telling the Lord. So that you can get some rest. Some peace. So that the joy, I believe that many of my brothers and sisters, the Christians, that we don't have the joy. You can see it. We don't have the joy of the Lord is because of hidden sin. That's why the songwriter said we don't shout like we used to. The deacons, they don't pray like they used to. The preachers, they don't preach like they used to. The choir don't sing like they used to. It's as if the joy of the Lord, the joy of your salvation, is as if we have lost that part. My Lord. And sin will do it. It would do it. It would do it. So David exhorts us in verse 6. He said, therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, while you may be found, before trouble comes. Don't wait for trouble to come. He says, go before God while there is still time, while he may be found. It's not that he's lost, but time is not on our side. God is time, but our time is limited. We don't know from one day to the next, from one minute to the next. And death has no, is no respecter of person. 22-year-old, I heard on my job, had a heart attack and died at the pit of graduating from college. So David said, don't wait till a trouble to come. Trouble in my life. I have to cry sometimes. He said, do it while you have time. And he said, listen, the psalmist is so confident in God. He says, because Lord, you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. This psalmist now is joyful. You can see that the joy of the Lord has returned. He's glad. And he says, God, you are my refuge. Yes. You are my protector. You are my hiding place.
Come on. Amen.
You protect me from trouble, in trouble.
Yeah.
You surround me.
Amen.
That's what the psalmist here is saying.
Amen.
And then you give me songs of victory.
Mm-hmm.
So the psalmist recognized that when he went to God, and he exposed himself before God. He laid bare before God. The victory is his. The victory is ours. Because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. We have the victory. And there ought to be some victory songs in our heart. And not only that, but the Lord promised. He said, I'll guide you along the way.
Yes.
I'll instruct you. I'll teach you. I'll counsel with you. I'll advise you. I'll guide you. I will lead you. My word will be a light unto your pathway. I'll order your steps in my word. Look what he's saying. I'll lead you along the pathway for your life. Not just sometime, but all the time. He says, I will advise you and watch over you. My eyes will be upon you all day and all night. The Bible says his angels watch over us all day. And then he says to us, he says, now, don't be like the horse or the mule. Stubborn, lacking understanding. Don't understand that you can't have no peace or forgiveness without God.
Yes.
The horse or the mule, say, the Bible say they won't come. Listen, you have to constrain them.
Right.
You got to put a bridle in a bit.
Come on.
God's saying to us today, my brothers and sisters, I don't want to have to do you like that.
Yes.
I want you to come to me willingly.
Yes.
Freely.
Yes.
Because you want to come, because you enjoy coming, because you want to be in my presence, you want to spend that time with me, you want to acknowledge. I know you have some ups and downs, but come to me willingly.
Willingly.
Yeah. Out of your love for me, out of your need for me, because we need him, and we can't make it without him. He says, be it under control. He says, many sorrows, this is what happened. When we refuse and when we reject, when we fail, and when we try to hide and when we try to cover up, when we keep silent, many sorrows come to the wicked. But unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord.
Yeah.
And so the psalmist exhorts us to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Why can we rejoice in the Lord? Well, we recognize that God has forgiven us, Mother. He has pardoned us. He has covered our sin. The blood of Jesus, though your sin be as scarlet,
come on.
The blood of Jesus cleanses us. It washes us white as snow. It's all because of what Jesus did at Calvary. That's why we can rejoice. That's why we can shout for joy, knowing that our sins have been forgiven and that we have been pardoned. According to Isaiah 55:6-7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked return from his wicked ways, and let the unrighteous man from his thoughts, and turn to God. And the Bible says that he will abundantly pardon us. He has pardoned us. We have been forgiven. But we still mess up. And we have to go back to God. And when we go back to God sincerely, David went back to God. David was able to go to God with sincereness of heart. And that's what God desires from us in our inward part. Sincereness of heart. A broken and contrite spirit. Being godly sorry for what we have done. All of us mess up, like I said. But not everybody is sorry for what they've done. But those who have been touched by the hands of God.
Yes.
You just can't walk around like nothing has happened.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is not going to allow you to just walk around as if nothing has happened. Somebody ought to be able to testify to that. You know when the Lord have been on you heavy and you needed to go and maybe apologize to somebody. You didn't want to do it. But the Lord wouldn't leave you alone until you get that thing right. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. So David here, he knew both sides of the coin. Yeah, he knew how it felt to be guilty and shame. And then he knew how it felt to have the joy of God's forgiveness and to be pardoned and the burden of his sin lifted from him. Others may remind you, but the Bible says God, he covered and he's wiped the slate clean. And you can go forth. It doesn't matter what somebody else say about you. It's on what God said about you. And sometimes we lose our joy because God has forgiven us, but we cannot forgive ourselves. We're still holding on to what God have forgiven.
Amen.
He's seen your heart and received it.
Yes.
Your confession.
Amen.
But then you have to learn to forgive yourself.
Yes.
And like Pastor said, go on and get you some rest.
Come on now.
Go on and get some rest.
That's right.
Yeah, go on and get you some sleep. Because the Lord has pardoned you.
Yeah.
And so we want to stop right here.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen. This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. would like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock.